Welcome to this presentation of Bethel Family Church. We hope you enjoy listening and that it helps you to grow closer to Jesus.
We've been looking at spiritual gifts. So we're going to be looking at, last week we looked at the Ephesians chapter 4 and we looked at ministry gifts and how God gives gifts to the church, which are people. They're you and they're me. Sometimes if people tell you that I'm God's gift to the church, then they might actually be right. If they say they're God's gift to women, that might not be so right, but you know, if they're God, they might be God's gift to the church. But how God gives apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers to the church for the work of ministry, because there are things that we need from each other. There are ministry types. And we looked at how that doesn't just necessarily mean, there's not just like one level of those kind of gifts, but they kind of come in all shapes and sizes. And there are some people that you look at and you go, wow, there is an incredible anointing for ministry on that person's life. You know, that they're doing some really serious stuff and impacting lots of lives. And we go, that's easy. We recognize those gifts and we thank God for those people who are gifts to the church. But there are also kind of everyday things that also line up with those kind of ministry giftings, which often we don't recognize, and we go, well, it's just me caring about, you know, looking after some people in our church, or it's just me, you know, sharing a little few thoughts at a Bible study or whatever. Those couldn't possibly be the kinds of ministry gifts that God's talking about. Well, you know, in actual fact, let's not discount those things, because they're part of how God has gifted us to be gifts to our local body here, which is awesome. But this morning I want to kind of move into the next like area of spiritual gifts, the next type of spiritual gifts, which is really much more, as I said before, like a supernatural working of the Holy Spirit. And we find some descriptions of these in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And we're going to have a bit of a look at this passage of Scripture together and just kind of look at what are the gifts that Paul is talking about in this passage of Scripture, and how do they function and operate, and what does that mean? Who are they for, and all that kind of stuff. So let's read to you. If you've got your Bibles and you want to open them up, that's awesome. We'll have it up on the screen here as well. So 1 Corinthians chapter 12 says, there are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit is the source of them all. There are different kinds of service, but we serve the same Lord. God works in different ways, but it's the same God who does the work in all of us. A spiritual gift is given to each of us so we can help each other. Thank you. To one person, the Spirit gives the ability to give wise advice. To another, the same Spirit gives a message of special knowledge. The same Spirit gives great faith to another. And to someone else, the one Spirit gives gifts of healing. He gives one person the power to perform miracles and another the ability to prophesy. He gives someone else the ability to discern whether a message is from the Spirit of God or from another spirit. Still another person is given the ability to speak in unknown languages or tongues, while another is given the ability to interpret what is being said. It is the one and only Spirit who distributes all these gifts. He alone decides which gift each person should have. They sound like awesome things to have working in our church, don't they? All right, which gift sounds the best? I mean, they're all good, right? Sorry? Nice try. Oh, I'm not going to get you on that one. Oh. Anybody else? Which gift is the best? The one that you don't have sometimes is the one that we wish we had. Well, you don't have any of these gifts. Let me just point that out right at the beginning. Like, these gifts are Holy Spirit gifts. So there are some kinds of gifts like the ones we talked about last week where we go, that's part of what makes me who I am. They're part of my makeup. And next week we're going to look at some more gifts which are part of who we are for, and they're kind of permanent things. They're things that we have all the time and we choose how to use them. But these gifts, which Paul is talking about this morning, are what we call manifestation gifts. And I'll explain that term in just a little minute. But what it means is these are not gifts which are permanent. These are not gifts which we get to. He's not talking about gifts in the sense of we get it and then we keep it and we choose what to do with it and when and where and how. These are gifts which are determined, as that last verse says, He alone decides which gift each person should have. He's the Spirit who distributes all the gifts. So these are gifts which are available to all believers, but they are gifts. So to answer my question, it was kind of one that I haven't given you the answer for, so it's okay. The best gift is the one which is needed at the time. All right, does that make sense? So when Paul says, you know, eagerly desire the greatest gifts, and, you know, the best gift is the one that's needed. If somebody needs a physical healing, like it's no good of giving them a, you know, saying, God, I need a miraculous financial provision, because that's not what they need. They need a gift of healing. If somebody has, they need wisdom from God, it's no good praying, God, heal their body, because what they need is a gift of wisdom. So it's one of those things where we go, the most beneficial gift, the greatest gift, is the one that is needed in that moment. One of the things, let's have a look at this verse. 1 Corinthians, just so the passage we just read was from verse 4 through to verse 11. So if we, just a couple, a little bit before that, in verse 2, Paul says, he's writing to this church at Corinth, and he says, you know that when you were still pagans, you were led astray and swept along in worshipping speechless idols. Now, why does Paul remind them of that? Why does he bring them back to this idea that, you know, you used to worship idols which weren't alive and couldn't speak and were useless? Well, I think that he does that to create a contrast between these kind of idols and false gods and the real and the living God. The word manifest and manifestation comes from this idea of so the manifest means to show by one's acts or appearance, to demonstrate, to be evidence of, or to prove. And so Paul is drawing this contrast, and he's saying, you used to worship idols, and they were lifeless things. They couldn't speak, they couldn't hear, they couldn't do anything, but now, here's all the things that the Holy Spirit does to prove, to give evidence of, to show you that He is the real, true God. He's the one who says, hey, He puts up His hand and says, hey, I'm here. And I'm doing things. Some synonyms or similar words with the same meaning as the word manifest include words like to display, to reveal, to indicate, or to confirm. It's like the opposite of to hide something away or to conceal something. So when we talk about manifestation, when we talk about the Holy Spirit being manifested, we're saying He becomes evident. Not that He wasn't here, but He was here. We just weren't seeing any evidence of it. But when we see the manifestation of the Holy Spirit, we see the evidence that He is here with us, the evidence that He is real, the evidence that He speaks, the evidence that He hears our prayers, the evidence that He is powerful. Does that make sense? Does that make sense? Yep. Awesome. If you have strong feelings about something, then the evidence of those feelings will be manifest on your face sometimes. when now we all have different levels of expression. I know that some of us are a little bit harder to read, a little bit more guarded in terms of our expressions, but generally somebody who knows you really well, I imagine that Pearly could probably read the facial expressions on Chris better than what I can. Not perfectly, I'm sure, but I would hope that, you know, that slight twitch of the eyebrow, and Pearly goes, oh, I know what that eyebrow means, you know. but there are things, you know, when you eat something and it's disgusting, what do? You pull a face, you go, ew, what was that? You know, when you're surprised What do? We used to play this game when our kids were babies, and we'd do the, oh, Hayden used to do an awesome surprise face. But so that's what we call, so those emotions which are sort of inside and things that you can't see, your facial expressions are those inside feelings being manifest. Okay, so let's get in and explore some of the gifts. So we've kind of grouped them together into groups, into three groups, just for like convenience, to help us to kind of understand and remember them, if you like. So the first little grouping is what we call gifts of revelation. You know what revelation means? It's not just that book at the end of the Bible. It also means when something is revealed. So these gifts are to do with God revealing things. Yes? So we have a word of wisdom. Now, a word of wisdom is not the same as wisdom. You can be a person who has wisdom. And wisdom is something I think that, for me, this helps. One of the things that helps me to understand the definition of wisdom, because we go, what's the difference between wisdom and knowledge, right? I think some of you have heard me say this before. Knowledge is knowing that tomatoes are fruit. Wisdom is not putting it in your fruit salad. All right. So wisdom is that ability to make good choices, or in some situations to give good advice. One of the things that so there are a lot of people who have wisdom. All right. My dad used to say, how does it go? Wisdom comes from experience. Oh, sorry. Good decisions. Right. Good decisions come from experience. Experience comes from bad decisions. So we learn things. You know, at times we have the ability to make wise choices, but that's not necessarily what we're talking about when we talk about a gift of wisdom. Okay, a word of wisdom, or this gift of wisdom in this situation that Paul is talking about is a supernatural revealing or understanding of God's wisdom in a particular moment, or for a particular circumstance, or for a particular person. So it might be that sense, you know, we're praying and we're listening to God and we're listening to the Holy Spirit, and, you know, and maybe it's something for us, maybe it's something for somebody else, but in that moment, there is just an understanding. There is a conviction that, okay, this is the decision that God is saying I ought to make in this circumstance. And there are times when this kind of wisdom doesn't necessarily make sense. There's not necessarily good, you know, natural human evidence or whatever to support making that decision. But there's that inner conviction of our spirit that says this is what God is saying. Sometimes the evidence, the natural evidence, actually kind of points towards the opposite decision. And then it becomes very difficult because our brain, our natural intellect and our intelligence is saying, no, 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 this is what you should do. But the Holy Spirit in us is saying, no, 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 this is what you should do, because there's all sorts of, you know, negative ramifications or consequences that might come from that you don't know about and you can't see. And this is what I want you to do. This is going to go in a different direction. Okay, so this ability to give advice to somebody that is beyond just our own intelligence, beyond our own experience, beyond our own understanding. This is what we talk about when we talk about a word of wisdom. A word of knowledge. I don't know, has anybody ever had a word of knowledge or something for somebody? Has anybody ever operated in that, used that, spoken something? Yep, one or two, not too many. Okay, so word of knowledge is when you just kind of know something about a circumstance or about a person. God just reveals some sort of information. And it's specific information, and it's something usually for you to share with that person, you know, for whatever reason as the Lord gives. But it's kind of a specific. So it might be, for example, that you're praying with somebody, and God gives you some information about something that person is wrestling with or struggling with or having a difficult time. Maybe, let's just pick for example, you know nothing about the person's financial circumstances, but God just says, like, you need to pray for that person in the area of finance. They're struggling financially. You know, it might be, it can be very specific. Like, I've witnessed some really specific things. I remember being in I think it was a Students for Christ meeting when I was a university student, There was a lot of young people there, and they were kind of talking about this stuff and encouraging us to wait on the Holy Spirit for words of knowledge and things for each other. And they were praying for this one person, and there were two people who had separate. One person had a word, and one person had a picture. So sometimes words of knowledge can be pictures. And as they shared this for this person, so the word was divorce, and the picture was of a blue Ford something or other. I can't remember, but it was a specific model, make and model of car, and the picture was of that car driving away. And as those two people shared that picture, and this person that they were praying for said, yep, that's exactly me. Like, that's one of the things that is still hurtful for me, is that my parents got divorced and my dad drove away in exactly that kind of car. You know, and it's still, that's a wound. And so then they were able to pray that God would bring healing into that emotional and spiritual hurt. And so those are the kinds of things where you go, God, you know, obviously, you know, God gave that person who had that mental picture to someone who knew something about cars, so that could actually be quite specific. If it showed me that picture, I would have said, yep, it's a blue car. And it wouldn't have had the same powerful effect as going, you know, a blue Ford Cortina, I think it was, or something like that, you know. And so that was very specific, and he gave that to the person who the Holy Spirit knew would be able to explain that and reveal what that picture was about. But that's the kind of thing. So this can be really useful in praying for all kinds of things. It can be useful in praying for healing. It can be useful in evangelism. You know, one of the things that, you know, we see in the ministry of Jesus, and he would come up to people and he would just know things about them, wouldn't he? Like the woman at the well. You know, and he's like, you know, bring your husband. And she's like, I haven't got a husband. And he's like, no, that's right. You've had five, and the guy you're with now is not your husband. You know, you're not married to him. And so this is Jesus demonstrating a word of knowledge. He didn't know that through natural means, did he? He hadn't gone and done his homework. He hadn't talked to the neighbours. He hadn't been into the village. He was just out at the well. He was passing by on the road. He didn't know this woman from a bar of soap. You know, and that kind of thing, when we're listening to the Holy Spirit, and we're, as the Holy Spirit determines, this is this gift of a word of knowledge. All right. Does that make sense? Clear? All right. And the third one is discerning between spirits. Now, sometimes people go, oh, your discernment. All right. And we go, okay, this is actually more specific than discernment. Discernment simply means being able to judge. All right, judge what's good, what's bad, what's right, what's wrong. You know, discernment is something that as Christians and as believers, we're all called to judge and evaluate and work out what's good and what's bad, right? But this is talking about discerning between spirits, distinguishing whether something that is said or done comes from the Holy Spirit or from a different kind of spirit or from just human intellect and from the natural mind. And this can be a really useful kind of thing. Obviously, I mean, all of the gifts of the Holy Spirit are useful, aren't they? Let's state the obvious, I suppose. But at times, it's kind of really interesting. We do have a world where there are people, you know, and Scripture talks about false prophets, false teachers. He says you need to test these kind of things. Work out who is actually speaking from the Spirit of God and who is not. And so at times, in a range of different circumstances, the Holy Spirit will give people this gift of being able to discern, is this from God, is this not from God? It's also useful in deliverance ministry and being able to discern what kind of spiritual oppression are we dealing with here. Is there, you know, if the Holy Spirit needs us to be able to identify a specific demonic spirit, then he'll reveal that. And, you know, this gift of discernment and working out what's going on can be useful in helping people to get set free from demonic oppression. All right, so that's the gifts of revelation: word of wisdom, word of knowledge, and discerning between spirits. The next little group is gifts of power. Now, a lot of people will go, "Ooh, power, yeah." But this is often the one that is really difficult to operate and one that people can struggle with at times. But the first one is a gift of faith. Now, this is not the kind of just sort of the general faith that we're all supposed to have. When we talk about faith in God, or this is not talking about faith for salvation. It's not talking about faith in the Bible as the Word of God. This kind of gift of supernatural faith is that faith in a specific circumstance for a specific time. It's kind of this supernatural imparting of faith that just doesn't make sense. When you feel like you've got no faith and suddenly, you know, the Holy Spirit just deposits, you know, maybe you're going through a crisis, an absolute crisis, and you're just waiting on God, and all of a sudden you just have faith that God's going to work in this situation. Maybe it's, you know, believing for a particular miracle, that God's going to do a miracle, and you go, God just gives you this supernatural faith to believe for a particular miracle. It's this gift of faith that gives steady assurance in the midst of a crisis and believes in the face of impossible odds, and this certainty that allows no room for doubt. Secondly, gifts of healing. We know that, that God works today. Holy Spirit works. Holy Spirit is more powerful than sickness, disease, all kinds of things. And we believe that God heals today. We believe that God is able to heal, and we pray for healing. And when we have these supernatural gifts of healing, this is exactly what Paul's talking about. It's when we're gathered together, when we're praying for one another, when someone's sick, he says, call for the elders, lay hands on them, and the prayer of faith will make you well. He says, gifts of healing. This is one of the things that the Holy Spirit does. It's not a permanent power to heal people all the time. There are those out there who will kind of say, oh, no, the gifts have all passed away, and you can see evidence because, you know, you go to someone and who says they've got a gift of healing, and you say, well, you should be able to heal everybody all the time. It's like, well, no, that's not how this works. All right, we say some people have faith to operate in this more frequently than what others do. Yep, sure. But it's still determined by the Holy Spirit. Every act of healing is a gift. That's why it doesn't say gift of healing, it says gifts of healing, because every act of healing is a gift from the Holy Spirit. And the power to perform miracles. So this is kind of anything else that's miraculous, which isn't curing a sickness or, like, it can include some kinds of physical healing. Think about the story of when Jesus healed the 10 lepers, and there were 10 lepers, and Jesus said, yep, you know, go and show yourselves to the priest. And so they all went off, and there was the one who came back. Remember that? And thank Jesus. And Jesus said, firstly, he said, where are the other nine? But he said, at the end, he says, go, your faith has made you whole. There's a difference, isn't there, between healed and whole. Leprosy was a condition that basically removed all kind of sensation and feeling from the extremities. And often what would happen is that injuries would result in fingers and toes and limbs being lost, and so they would often kind of have, you know, these kinds of deformations and amputations and all that kind of stuff. And so we see when Jesus says, I believe, it doesn't sort of go into the specifics, but I believe when Jesus says, your faith has made you whole, it went beyond just healed, went beyond just the sickness being gone. It was complete restoration. And so there are miraculous kinds of things. There's a whole bunch of miraculous things that Jesus did in the Gospels and that people have been doing ever since by the power of the Holy Spirit that aren't just healing sicknesses, isn't there? There's all sorts of, you know, calming storms and awesome financial provisions, which are just miraculous. There's all kinds of, Jesus cursed the fig tree. Right? It's kind of like the opposite of healing. You know, so there's this kind of other miracles incorporates all these other kinds of things. And the third gift is gifts of utterance. So these are gifts which we speak out from our mouths. So we have prophecy. And Paul says prophecy is a fantastic thing to desire and to have operating and functioning within the life of the church, because it is the very words of God being spoken to us. It's the heart of God being communicated to us. We touched a little bit on prophecy last week, but essentially it's this idea of speaking out, God speaking through us. All right, so it's what God wants to say to us. He puts that in somebody's spirit and someone's heart, and they speak it out in order to build up the church, in order to bless people, in order to encourage people, in order to strengthen people. While prophecy can include things about the future, the primary purpose of prophecy is not specifically to figure out what's going to happen in the future. We trust God for what happens in the future, even when we don't know, don't we? And he says, you don't need to know all the things that are going to happen ahead of time. You just need to put your trust in me. So he says, so predominantly, prophetic words, prophecy spoken in the church is about what God wants to say to us here and now. To strengthen, encourage, and comfort. This, look at this verse in 1 Corinthians 14. He says, but one who prophesies strengthens others, encourages them, and comforts them. This is essentially the purpose of prophecy and the benefit of prophecy that comes to us. It's one of the ways that we can test prophecy. If prophecy doesn't strengthen, encourage, or comfort, then it's not this kind of prophecy that Paul is talking about. And maybe we can go, maybe that's not from the Holy Spirit. Okay, so the second in the gifts of utterance is the gift of tongues. Now, in the church here, being a Pentecostal church, we talk about tongues being the evidence of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We talk about tongues as being a personal and devotional language that the Holy Spirit gives us to be able to pray in our personal and devotional life. And the Apostle Paul talks about this as well. He says, one who prophesies... No, we've done that one already. For anyone who speaks in a tongue does not speak to people but to God. Indeed, no one understands them, the utter mysteries by the Spirit. So when you speak in tongues and you're praying to God, nobody's going to understand that. It's not a language that you can learn. I remember being in Sunday school when I was a kid, and we had one of the older gentlemen in the church who came in to teach us about speaking in tongues. And we thought, okay, this is cool. And he comes in, and we found out obviously that he had a wrong understanding of this whole gift of tongues, right? Because he comes in, there's a bunch of kids here in the children's church, and he says, all right, when you say this, I can't remember what he said, but when you say this, blah, blah, that means bread. So when you're praying, you can pray, blah, blah, and that means bread, okay? As if it was like an earthly language, right? And we never had any more lessons from that guy about speaking in tongues from that point on. Because that's not how it works. This is a kind of this heavenly language that, you know, it's unique to each one of us, that we don't try to translate, we don't try to understand, because it's between our spirit and God's spirit. Okay, so that's a wonderful gift. And Paul says, I thank God that I speak in tongues more than all of you. He says, I use this, I operate in this, I pray in this all the time. He says, this is an awesome gift. It builds me up. It strengthens me when I pray in tongues. Sometimes it's, you know, when I just don't know what to pray and I'm talking to God, I can pray in tongues. And my spirit prays to God's spirit, and he understands, and he prays for me, and he helps me pray. When we don't know what to pray, he says in Romans, you know, the Holy Spirit helps us with groanings and utterings and things that we don't understand. Okay, so having said all that, that's a fantastic gift, but that's not what Paul's talking about in this specific instance, okay? Because he's talking about gifts that operate for the benefit of the church, operate in the midst of the church. So he's talking about when God wants to actually deliver a message to the church, sometimes he chooses to do that through this gift of tongues. So it's a gift of tongues that is supernaturally spoken out to build up the church. And so, of course, it needs to be accompanied by the interpretation of that tongue. He explains this. He says, you know, if I speak to you in tongues, it's a waste of time because you don't understand it unless somebody interprets that so that then you can be encouraged, so that you can be built up, so that you can be strengthened. Now, it's important that we talk about interpretation of tongues and not translation. Like I said before, this is not a language that we can just learn like an earthly language that we can go, oh, I know what that word means, so I can translate for you. If Nori, you know, spoke to me in Tagalog, and I might not understand, but somebody else can translate because they know those words. They know the meaning of each of those words and the phrasing. But when we talk about interpretation, it's not so much a sense of, so when somebody, you know, and it happens here from time to time, when someone will speak out a message of tongues, and it's not just them worshipping away or praying in tongues, but they speak something out, and you go, okay, that's God speaking through that person, and we're supposed to understand what that means. So that's the moment when we're supposed to go, okay, Holy Spirit, who is it that you want to speak out the interpretation of this word? Is it me? Because anybody who is filled with the Holy Spirit can operate in all of these gifts or in any one of these gifts as he chooses, as he sees fit. And so we need to be ready and available to operate and function in these kinds of things. And so we wait on the Holy Spirit. And if we go, I'm not getting, you know, and it's about learning to listen to that voice of the Holy Spirit. There are moments when, you know, something just impresses on our spirit so strongly, and we go, when that person was praying that word in tongues, I just had this, you know, picture that just came into my head out of nowhere, or this sense of the emotion and conveyed what was on their heart. And we go, okay, maybe that's the Holy Spirit putting some words into my mind, some ideas, some concepts, some thoughts, some pictures, so that I can speak that out. It's not a word for word translation. It's a what is the sense of what that message was about? What is being communicated and conveyed? What's the heart of God coming through in that? All right. That make sense? Cool. So learning to operate in these gifts is something that is all of our responsibility, to be filled with the Spirit. If you are filled with the Spirit, you can operate in any of these gifts if you are willing. You have a choice. You can choose to be silent. You can choose to go, no, I'm not willing to do that. And part of that comes from this whole idea. You know, there are lots of reasons why at times we do that, why at times we sit back. Sometimes it's a thing of going, well, I'm not qualified. Sometimes it's somebody, you know, somebody else's responsibility to do that. I can't do that. And often it's, you know, it's that first time, isn't it? We've never done something before and we don't really understand it that well. It can be really hard to step up and do something for the first time, can't it? You know, but you know, the only qualification that you need is the Holy Spirit, because it is not your ability, it is the Holy Spirit, and it is a gift of the Spirit. And that's why Paul uses this kind of language, this kind of terminology, to say it's not about you. It's not about how good you are at public speaking. It's not about how good you are at praying with fancy words. You know, it's about the Holy Spirit and being open to the Holy Spirit, listening to the Holy Spirit and going, Holy Spirit, here I am. You know, do what you want to do in me. If you want to use me as a conduit for getting your message, or, you know, whatever it is that you want to say or do out there, here I am. I'm available. If you want me to go and pray for that person because you want to heal them, then I will do it. If you want me to speak out something to them, you know, that you've put this little picture in my mind because you want to make yourself evident, if you want that person to know that you are real and that you see their situation and that you see their pain, then I will speak something out and I will be brave and I will take a risk and I will take the chance that maybe I got it wrong, because maybe I might get it right and that might make the world of difference to that person. Because, church, the thing about these gifts is that they're not just for Sunday mornings when we gather together with other believers. Now, there's a lot of these gifts which we are supposed to use all the time. There are things that we can use when we're sharing the gospel. You know, things like, you know, words of knowledge and gifts of healing and things that say to a person, hey, God is real. God sees your circumstances. God wants to have a part to play in your life. And here's what he is saying to you right now. Or here's what he wants to do. Or here's how much he loves you. He wants to take away that pain that you've been suffering. You know, and those are the kinds of things. You know, when the scripture talks about the gospel was preached with signs and wonders. You know, Jesus said, go into all the world and these signs and wonders will accompany you as you preach the gospel. Because the gospel is not just words. The gospel is not just ideas. The gospel is power. And Jesus says, when you're preaching the gospel, I'll come and I'll back up the things that you're saying with evidence that I am real and I'm powerful and I can heal and I can work miracles and I see and I hear. And I'm not just like those other kind of things that you worship that have no power and are lifeless. And so we need to be awake. We need to be switched on. You know, now let me just say this. Like Sunday morning here, this is an awesome space for you to develop and grow in and practice the exercising these gifts of the Spirit. Okay? Because these people here are going to be really forgiving and they're going to be really loving and they're going to show you lots of grace when you get it wrong. And if you say, I think God's saying this to you, and they go away and they think, no, that doesn't relate to me whatsoever, they're going to be really kind to you. And they're not going to go, you're an idiot, you don't know what you're talking about. Are they? But you know, each one of us, you know, this is a safe space. You know, it's that whole concept of if we want people to show grace and be kind to us, then what does that mean about how we treat others? All right? What goes around comes around, doesn't it? If we want to have a church that has this culture of it's safe and it's okay to step out with what we think God is saying, and if we get it wrong, then there's a whole bunch of people that are going to catch me and lift me up and love me and help me to go, okay, I messed it up that time, but that doesn't mean that, you know, I'm useless and I'm a failure. Because when we go, I'm useless and I'm a failure and I get it wrong, what do we do then? You know, how likely are we to step out in that again anytime soon? Not very likely. Right? When someone says, hey, it's okay, I don't think that doesn't mean anything to me, that, you know, I might have missed the mark, I don't know if that was God speaking, it doesn't seem right, or, you know, here's the things that are kind of prophecy, so, you know, yeah, but have another go. You know, it's okay, you know. Then we go, okay, it's safe, it's okay. You know, I can do this, I can step out, I can learn. You know, maybe it was half of it was right, and then the other bit that we kind of thought fitted and we tacked on, we go, actually that bit wasn't right. Because we do that sometimes, don't we? We go, here's what I think it means. You know, and then we, you know, God gives us this picture of something that is really meaningful for somebody, and then we interpret it for them, and they go, oh no, actually that's not me at all. You know, but, you know, sometimes we've got to just stick with what God gives us and not try to elaborate or explain, you know, those kind of things too sometimes. But this is this whole thing, and again and again and again, and you will never ever hear me talk about spiritual gifts without talking about love, about caring for each other. When Paul says, you know, he says, we've all got different gifts, you know, don't be jealous of one another, you know, just be happy with the things, with the way God chooses to function in and through you. You know, he talks about all that kind of stuff. We've all got parts to play, the body, 1 Corinthians 12, and he says, now, you know, I'll show you the most excellent way. You know, he talks about love. And he's not trying to say love is better than spiritual gifts. All right? What he's saying is the most excellent way is spiritual gifts, God's power revealed and made evident, working out of God's love at work in us together. These two things are the most excellent way. If we have love but we don't have God's equipping and supernatural enabling, then we might be nice people, but we are not equipped to carry on the ministry that Jesus Christ has called us to do. We're not going to be able to help people get set free from the stuff that's holding them captive. Because we need God's equipping, we need God's power, we need God's enabling, we need that supernatural dimension in order to fulfill the things that Christ has called us to do. 1 Corinthians 14 verse 1. He says, follow the way of love and eagerly desire spiritual gifts. You know, I don't know, read that. It almost sounds like he's saying the way of love is to eagerly desire spiritual gifts. If you're following the way of love, then you will eagerly desire spiritual gifts. I don't know, maybe I'm reading into that or something, but I think it's actually true. Because if we actually care, if I care about Chris here, then I'm going to be praying, God, give me something that can help strengthen my brother. Give me something that can speak into his life. Give me something that can help build him up. Give me something that can help build up Gavin. God, give me something that can help encourage and strengthen Norrie in her faith and in her ministry. And, you know, when she's over there with the kids, what can I do to help? Isn't this what love, shouldn't love motivate us to be going, God, give me something that I can help use to build them up and strengthen them and, you know, help them in their journey? And, you know, doesn't love motivate us to want to help others? Doesn't love motivate us to help others? Love motivate us to want others to succeed. Get that out. Thanks, Gav. It does, doesn't it? Like when we have love for one another, we go, you know, I want the best for you. I want to see God working in your life. I want God's blessing for you. You know, I want you to be winning. You know, when you're struggling, that doesn't make me look better. Like when you're struggling, like we all struggle, and we're all weaker for it as a body. It's that team thing. When you win, I win. This is what love. Love ought to motivate us to seek the gifts of the Spirit, and it also ought to be the filter through which they operate. The gifts of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit, working hand in hand, evidence of the Holy Spirit at work, manifest, revealed, made evident, visible. This passage of Scripture, you know, there were obviously issues with the way that the Corinthian church was operating in some of these gifts. And he's quick to kind of go, hang on a minute, you know, Let's not get into this way of kind of wrongly operating in the gifts. He's quick to kind of to condemn that wrongful use of these kind of spiritual gifts. But he's also equally quick to go, look how awesome and beneficial these are when we get it right. When we operate in love, when we do these out of care and concern and desire for our brothers and sisters in God's church. He says, guys, these are awesome. Like, desire these things. You know, seek to have the Holy Spirit evident and moving in your midst. There ought to be, if we say the presence of God is here, there ought to be some kind of dimension of the supernatural, because God is a supernatural God. We can't have a supernatural God being present and be completely natural. It kind of doesn't really work, does it? You know, so there ought to be this ought to be something that we're praying about, something that we're seeking about, something we're going, Holy Spirit, help me to be brave enough to do something, you know, help me to listen to you. Let's put aside our fears. Let's be determined to show grace and kindness to one another, to step out in boldness and faith, and you know, be brave enough, love each other enough to put aside our fears as we step out and listen to what the Holy Spirit's wanting to do. We want to see more of this beginning to happen and function in our church. Not because, you know, and some people say, oh, but you know, we shouldn't seek the gifts, we should seek the giver. But, you know, the gifts are the giver. That's why we call them, you know, that manifestation gift. That's the Holy Spirit being present and revealed and visible. So if we go, yes, we want the Holy Spirit to be present and real and visible in our midst, then that means the manifestation gifts, these spiritual gifts, will be functioning. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you that you are real and you are powerful and you are working in your church. Father God, we thank you that you give us this incredible privilege of being, conduits for the things that you want to do, of being people that you work in and through. Lord, that you give us this privilege of being involved and in the middle of things that you're doing. But God, at times that can be scary. We can be nervous about that. Lord, we don't want to get it wrong. We don't want to mess it up and hurt anybody. But Lord, when we hold back out of fear, we miss out on so many of the good things that you have for us. And Lord, we don't want to miss out on those things. We want to learn to step into those things. We want to receive those things that you have for us. We want to receive the blessings that you have, the equipping and the strengthening that you have for us. This morning, God, as a church, we want to make this decision to be open to what you want to do in and through us. We want to be open to hearing you speak to us. We want to be available for you, Lord, for each other in the body. But also we want to know how to operate in these things so that we can be a force for your kingdom in our city. Lord, we want to be the kind of church that shares the gospel with power, that is available to be your voice speaking to people who don't yet know you, calling out to them, reaching out to them, crying out to them and say, come. God sees your pain. God sees your hurt. God sees how lost you are. He sees your confusion. He sees your doubts and he says, come. He says, come. Come into his kingdom. Come into his family. Come and draw near to him and he will take away those things and he will replace them with joy and he will replace them with peace and he will replace them with life. He will replace them with wholeness and healing. Father God, help us to be people who operate in that kind of power, with that kind of faith, with that kind of obedience to what you've called us to do, to lay hands on the sick and to see them healed and made whole and restored, to speak words of transformation, to speak words of hope. Lord, let us love each other enough to put aside our fear, to say, do you know what, it's worth getting it wrong every now and again, because there'll be so much blessing that comes when we get it right. You know, God will guide me, God will lead me, God will help me, and my brothers and sisters in Christ, they'll help me too, because we're together as we're one family, and we don't have to worry about condemnation, we don't have to worry about failure is not that big a deal. We just have another go, get back up, get back on the horse again and give it another go, because we are determined not to miss out on what you want for us, God. This morning, as our eyes are closed, as we're listening to that voice of the Holy Spirit, if this is something maybe that you, as we've been talking about this morning, has been sharing, has been talking about these things, have you been sitting there and going, like, I would really like that, but I just don't know if I ever could. If that's you this morning, I want to pray for you. I want to pray with you. If that's you this morning, you're going, like, I just don't know whether I could ever do any of those things. Would you just, like, while our eyes are closed, would you just raise your hand so I can see? I really just want to pray for you this morning. I want to pray God's equipping. I want to pray God's enabling. I want to pray that boldness for you this morning. All right. Right now, Father, for those who raise their hands, God, I pray that you give them a boldness greater than what they've known before. Lord, that you would begin to stir up those gifts within them. Lord, that you would begin to give them that faith to believe that
that it doesn't matter what their abilities are, when you choose to function, when you choose to operate, that they can, that they can be available, that you can work through them. Lord, I pray for gifts of miracles. Lord, I pray for gifts of healings. Lord, I pray for gifts of wisdom, of words of knowledge, Lord, of discerning of spirits. Lord, of gifts of tongues and interpretation of tongues, of gifts of prophecy. Lord, raise them up. Lord, give us that boldness to be willing to make mistakes. Lord, to be willing to love people enough to take a chance, to care about people enough to step out in faith and say, God, here I am. Here I am, send me. Here I am, send me. I'll pray, I'll speak to someone. God, you guide me in it all, but I'm available. Father, I pray for those people right now that you just be building up that faith to believe for you to be at work. This morning, if you have not ever received that baptism in the Holy Spirit, and you go, well, I guess that means I'm not qualified for this then I want to encourage you, that is available for everybody. If you've not received that before, I would love to pray with you. I know my wife would love to pray together with you as well. We'd love for you to receive that today. Jesus said the Father loves pouring out His Spirit on His children who seek Him and desire Him. He loves to give the Holy Spirit to those who ask. Just as a parent, just as a father loves giving good gifts to his children. He says, this is what I want for you. This is available for you. Is anybody here this morning? You've not received that baptism in the Holy Spirit, that filling of the Holy Spirit, and you want to receive that this morning. Would you just raise your hand? Would you let me know so I can pray with you? We'll pray with you at the end of the service. Father, we thank you that you choose to make us your dwelling place. That you choose to live in us and fill us with your power and equip us with every good thing in order that we can have that boldness and be led by your Spirit, that we can be equipped for what you've called us to do, that great commission, God. And we thank you for that. Hallelujah. Amen.
Thanks for listening to today's message. For more information or to listen to other podcasts, head to our website at bethelcrc.org.au or check out Bethel Family Church on Facebook.